This is the first time she's heard me preach, too, so. I'm John Savory, if y'all didn't already meet me. My wife, Lindsay, and my daughter, Eliana, who doesn't know what I'm doing. thank you for welcoming us. It's an honor to be here in your church. I've gone by this church many times and wondered if there's actually congregation or anything happening in it. And then six years ago, I heard Laramie Valley Chapel got involved in y'all's meetings and stuff. And unfortunately, I've got guard drill once in a while, so I wasn't able to come down and have picnics and stuff like that. But it's good to be here. I'm a chaplain candidate in the Wyoming National Guard right now, waiting on my packet to go before National Guard Bureau to be approved. Hopefully this year. Last year was supposed to be the year, but it didn't happen. 2020 was quite a year. Quite a year for probably all of us. Ups and downs. A lot of people think it's probably the worst year ever. And, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? No. Solomon says. And so I want to talk to you tonight, in Habakkuk. I'll take you to Habakkuk. And so my mom, when she starts a book, a new book, she loves novels, like Beverly Lewis and gals like that, Louis L'Amour. She'll start at the back of the book. She wants to read the ending before she begins at the beginning. I'm not sure why she does that. She likes spoilers. I don't know. I like the anticipation of what's going to happen next. She doesn't, I guess. That's how we're going to approach Habakkuk, though. We are going to start at the end of the book with verse 17 of chapter 3. And this passage here kind of gives you the goggles or the glasses through which to see the rest of the book, if you will. So we'll start verse 17, if you're there with me. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Lord God, as we look at your word, come to your word, Lord God, help us come to it with new eyes and new ears. Change our hearts with it. Use it to show us a mirror of what our hearts look like before your holiness, Lord God, and use it to change those hearts. As we approach a new year, Lord God, I pray that we go into it with our eyes on you, because you are the God of our salvation. You're the only one who can give us strength through this year. In your heavenly name, amen. So, it's an interesting book, Habakkuk. Unlike any other prophet, you look at any of the other minor prophets or even the major prophets, and the prophet addresses God's people. Habakkuk doesn't do this. This book is almost like Habakkuk's personal testimony, if you will. And if you go to chapter 1, you'll see how his testimony begins. His testimony begins with no trust in God whatsoever. He begins this book like we've kind of ended 2021. God, what the heck just happened? What just happened? You look at 2020. What happened in 2020? Anyone offer some fun facts that happened 2020?
They tried to silence the church.
I wouldn't in all my years have said in America that we would be banned from worshiping. In Russia? Yeah. In Iran? Heck yeah. Not in America. I'm a patriot. I love this flag. I love this flag. And I hate to see what's happening in this country. I really do. And Habakkuk's in the same seat. He says, how long will I cry for help? How long will I cry violence and you not hear me? Lord God, look what's happening in my country. Anything else happened this year that you guys were so excited about? The big obvious, COVID. COVID happened and had a lot of trickle-down effects. The banning of worship, one of them. The simple freedoms that we hold dear being taken away that other people in other countries might take for granted, but we've taken for granted, and we finally, what, the freedom to breathe? I didn't think that was a freedom. That he's saying this, the riots in the streets. I would have never thought that was possible in the United States of America, looting and burning, and in this very state. And downtown Denver was a dangerous place to walk this year. Not that it's not otherwise. But he says, why do you let me look upon this? Let me look upon iniquity, injustice. Justice has been perverted this year. Justice has been perverted. In America, of all places, justice has been perverted. And to kind of give Habakkuk context, he lived in the time of King Manasseh. If you go back to 2 Kings 21 or 2 Chronicles 33, you'll kind of read a little bit about Manasseh. I'll let you all do that yourselves. He was an evil, evil, evil king. Evil king. How old are you there? In the orange and camouflage jacket. You're 10? Well, in 2 years, if you were Manasseh, you would be able to be king. Manasseh became king when he was 12 years old. 12 years old. And he wasn't the greatest ruler in the world. Two kind of highlights of his rule. He was ruler when Isaiah was prophesying. You know what he did to Isaiah? He had him sawed in half from crotch to mouth. He did that to Isaiah. He didn't care about life. He sacrificed his own son to Molech. And we now have a president who doesn't care about life either. True. He doesn't care one iota for life. Doesn't matter if the baby is delivered or not delivered. That the woman has a right to choose if that baby should live or not. So this is where Habakkuk is. This is where our country is. How long, Lord, will you look at this and not answer us? We're crying to you for help. But God does answer. God does answer. Thing is, like in a lot of our lives, God gives an answer that Habakkuk doesn't necessarily like. How many times in your life has God given you an answer to your prayer that you're like, wait, God, that's not what I had in mind. Back up here. Back up. No, that's not what I want. And that's what God answers. God says, I will judge Manasseh. I will judge the rulers of Judah. I will bring Babylon in to do it. Wait, God, Babylon? You know who Babylon is, don't you? Manasseh don't care about life. You seen those Babylonians? You seen what they did? You remember the Babylonians? Because here in a few years, Judah gets taken captive by the Babylonians. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, or if you remember, their names are remembered as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they had their names changed. What Babylon did was he took the young men of a country, and Nebuchadnezzar did, and he brainwashed them. Kind of like our schools are doing to our children now. There's no gender. Huh? My little daughter's 3 years old. She can tell the difference between a boy and a girl. She knows there's only two genders. She's three. So they brainwashed these young men. And you read about that in Daniel. Daniel, Hananiah, Azrael, Mishael. First part of their brainwashing was their names being changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Each one of those names gave homage to a different God. It wasn't God Almighty. It wasn't the creator of heaven and earth. It was a different God. Our school systems are paying homage to a total different God than God Almighty. They're changing history. They're changing what this means. This isn't allowed in school. I remember when I was a youngster, a teenager, and I brought my Bible to school, and someone told me, "You can't have that. What are you talking about? I can have it if I want. This is in America." But now, I don't know. I guess you'd go to the principal's office if you bring a Bible in school nowadays. So they brainwash them. And they were so wicked that these boys were made eunuchs, which to y'all that don't know what a eunuch is, means you can't have children. They didn't want them to procreate. They didn't want them to teach their kids their culture. They wanted Babylonian culture to be taught. And so mean that Nebuchadnezzar built an idol, huge idol, and he had nation after nation come to bow to this idol. And if you remember right, Daniel, Hananiah, Azrael, Mishael said, "No, we ain't bound to that. We ain't doing it." "Oh, you ain't? Okay, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace. You think that stove gets pretty hot?" That fiery furnace was so hot it killed the guards that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in. So Habakkuk saying, "The Babylonians are far worse than my government. What the heck are you doing? You're bringing them in? I thought you were a just God. I thought you were just." So God Habakkuk says, I'll take my place on my watch post. I don't know if metaphorically he's doing this or if in reality he's up on the wall of Jerusalem and he's waiting for God's answer. I've been to Afghanistan, in the towers in Afghanistan, and you're up there and you can see everything that's going on. Maybe that's his job and that's why he's saying, "God, I see all this happening." Or maybe it's maybe one of y'all has this gift. You can look over what's happening and God's laid it on your heart to pray about it. And maybe God's given Habakkuk that gift to see what's happening and see, this is what I'm doing in the world. But Habakkuk says, "I'm going to wait for your answer, God, because you will answer for your injustice you're doing." Again, see where Habakkuk's heart is? His eyes are not on God. His eyes are on what's happening around him. And that's a lot of what happened this year. Where was your eyes? Where was my eyes? My eyes weren't at all times on God. My eyes were on who's the next president. Can we kick the unjust congressmen or congresswomen, Senate people out and get good people in there? Maybe this country will change around if we get a different government. And that's, I think, maybe Habakkuk's thinking that. And Israel had been there before. Remember, back in Judges, it says Israel had no king. It doesn't mean human king. It means their eyes weren't on God. But they demanded a king like other countries because they think, "Oh, politics will fix this country." We in America think, politics will fix this country. If we just go back to what that flag stands for, go back to what the Constitution stands for, our country will be back on its feet. Our country will be back to where my grandparents grew up. That's what I want. I want that. And Habakkuk's thinking probably the same thing. And God answers him back and says, Habakkuk, you might not see this, but I have a plan. I have a plan. Your country, Judah, is going down the same path. And if I let it continue going, it will be as bad as Babylon. And I will have to judge Judah like I judge Babylon. And in chapter 2, he goes through different things in Habakkuk's heart, in Judah's heart, that are wrong, that he will judge. And he's kind of comparing them to Babylon. Has anyone had someone placed in your life that you can't stand? And you can't stand them because they're a mirror? There are some people. You see that mirror and you say, God, I can't stand that person. And God turns the mirror and says, that's you. That's you. Change your heart. So in chapter 2, God goes through a bunch of things. Here, Habakkuk, look. Look inside here. And that's why I say this may very well be Habakkuk's testimony. I don't know if he knows the Lord God when he first starts. He might be a traditional Jew that just the Christmas and Easter Christian that's in the pew only then. Or maybe you come to church every Sunday and you're faithful, but you just warm the pew kind of person. Maybe that's where Habakkuk is. And God says, no, look, here's a mirror. Look what's wrong with your heart. And there's a bunch of woes he offers, pointing out greediness and covetousness and drunkards and idolaters. And we can look at each one of those and look inward when you look at each one of those, being greedy. Here in America, pretty prosperous. We're pretty well off, aren't we? I saw some snowmobiles. And the next one's covetousness. I'd like a snowmobile and I'd like a brand new pickup. Right? Right. But it's easy. It's easy to look at Biden. It's easy to look at Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer and say, hey, they're greedy. God, look how greedy they are. Look how covetous they are. It's easy to do that, isn't it? Look how drunk they are. Look how idolatrous they are. I don't know about you, but that little stupid thing has become an idol, hasn't it? Yeah. Hasn't it? You're supposed to spend time with your kids and pouring into them, like Deuteronomy 9 says, to when you wake up and when you lie down, when you go in that door and when you come in, go out that door, you should be living God's word. You should be a light to your children. My daughter should see that. She shouldn't see this. But it's become an idol, hasn't it? But it's easy. It's easy to say, Colorado governor is so, so unjust. He is so messed up. Or Wyoming governor. There's a lot of my friends, colleagues looking at Governor Gordon in Wyoming and pegging him with all kinds of, he's wrong, he's wrong, he's wrong. We need to get him out and get someone else in. It's easy to do that to someone else, isn't it? But God's turning the mirror back on Habakkuk and saying, hey, Habakkuk, look at this. Look at this. And when we're confronted, when our sin is confronted with God's holiness, we might have the same reaction that Habakkuk has. God says, I have a plan in this. He says, my glory will fill the earth like the waters fill the sea one day. And we look towards that day. But he says that the Babylonians will be part of this, will be this plan. And they are sinful as you are sinful. And I'm going to use this. I mentioned Daniel. Remember, Daniel, Hananiah, and Azariah were appointed as magi. We just got done with this Christmas season. Have you heard that word magi before? I've never seen a Persian manuscript. I'd love to discover a Persian manuscript that Daniel or Hananiah or Azariah or Mishael wrote that shows that there will be a star over Bethlehem, and under that star a king will be born who will save the whole world, who will topple governments. Every king, every nation will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to find that Persian manuscript, because somewhere that was passed down, and it was passed down hundreds of years until these kings decided, hey, that star right there, let's follow that, because we know there's a king to be born in Bethlehem. And so that's what God's showing Habakkuk. I have a plan, even using Babylon to further my plan. My glory will fill the earth. And met with God's holiness, he says in verse 16 of chapter 3, I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound. There's rottenness that enters my bones, my legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon my people, upon people who invade us. Like I say, Isaiah wrote in this time also. And Isaiah, in his vision of the throne room of God, he was before God and he heard the angel saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And at that, he fell on his face. And he says, God, I can't be here. I can't be here. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. When our sin is faced with the holiness of God, that's all we can do. Fall flat on our face and say, yeah, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to be up here preaching. Why me, Lord? Why am I here? Why did you choose me to be a chaplain in the Wyoming Guard? I can't do that. I'm just as bad as them. John and Jesus were like this. John writes in the book of John that he was beloved of Jesus. Not to be a braggart saying, oh yeah, I'm Jesus' best friend. He says, even me, I'm loved by God. I'm loved by Christ. I got to sit by Jesus himself and learn under him. I was loved by him, even the dirty person I am, he says. But in Revelations, if you see his vision of the throne room of God, he goes and he falls on his face as if dead. And then he hears a voice that he recognizes. He hears Jesus' voice, his best friend's voice. Says, don't be afraid. And I think this is what Habakkuk's doing, or God's doing with Habakkuk here. We sang, you're a good, good father. That's who you are. And I'm loved by you. That's who I am. Our identity, our focus for 2021 shouldn't be on what's happening around us. Who cares what the Colorado government's doing? Who cares what the United States government's doing? Our country may or may not go down the path of socialism, communism, what have you. Who knows? But we need to refuse to look around us and panic. That's Peter's one that's easy to take shots at. How could he look at the waves and not keep his eye on God? And he sank. He's drowning in the middle of the Sea of Galilee instead of trusting Jesus and keeping his eye on Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, we're in the same exact place. How easy is it to look at the waves? How easy is that? But as you go into 2021, don't look at the waves. Refuse to look at the waves. Keep your eye on Jesus. Because if you do, you're an agricultural community, so you should understand, though the fig tree should not blossom. You know when you see blossoms on your crops, on your hay, on your trees, it gives hope of a harvest. It gives hope that one day there will be fruit on that. Though nor fruit shall be on the vine. In Habakkuk's day, wine was water. You didn't drink the water. That was nasty. But wine also brought joy. We just got done with the Christmas season. I don't partake very much, but wine brings joy to one's heart. Though there be not any joy, there wasn't very much joy in 2020, as I remember. The produce of the olive fail. Olive oil was used in Israel to anoint kings, to anoint priests. If there's no hope of a president who will lead this nation back to God, and fields yield no food, and the flock be cut up from the fold. I haven't been following beef prices right now, but I know there's a lot of ranchers struggling. If beef prices go down, way down, and you're not getting the price per pound for your cattle, nor there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. His eyes are finally on God. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Biden is not going to save your soul. He's not. Your eternal security is not found in Nancy Pelosi. Thank God. not even Trump. If we had a president like President Reagan was, even he couldn't lead you to salvation. There's only one who died upon the cross 2,000 years ago for you, for me, for even me, as dirty as I am. And he loves each one of us. I don't care how much you like Trump. He don't care one iota for you. I don't think he's thinking about you right now, probably. But God is. God's thinking about each and every one of you and where your heart is with him. Is your heart looking on what's around us, what's going on in our communities, in our government right now? Or is your eyes on Christ? It says in Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It doesn't say if Trump seeks my face. It doesn't. It says if my people, are you his people? Is he your God? Is your eyes on him, or is your heart going after the next big thing, the next iPhone, whatever, the next snowmobile? Where's your heart? Is it on how big your house is? Is it how many cattle you have roaming your hills? How big your hay crop is? Is that where your heart is? Is it on whether this country is following the Constitution or not? Or is it on, am I following Christ with everything I am? Then you can say, God the Lord is my strength, and he makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread upon high places. That deer, I went to Israel a few years ago, and I saw those. They're akin to our mountain goats. If you look at the mountain goats out here, you ever seen them on the edge of a cliff? You don't think there's a path up that cliff, but that mountain goat will find a way up that thing. When people look on your life, are they saying, how in the heck is he way up there? Why is he have so much joy right now with everything that's happening in his life? Because God made my feet like the hinds, and I'm above everything else, and I see what's going on, and I'm praying for what's going on. But my relationship with him is most important, not what's going on. Is that where you are? Are you up on that cliff looking over everything? Are your feet like the hinds' feet up on that cliff, finding a way where there's no way? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. I pray your heart is there. And if it's not, you've got friends around you sitting next to you that would love to lead you on that way. Steve German, who comes down here, is also a great guy to lead you there if you're not comfortable with him. Or even me. I know I'm very new here. But hey, I'd be happy to pray with you. But it's not just a prayer. It's a change of this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, hit your knees, hit your face, and seek his face and turn from where you are. I pray that for y'all down here. And God bless you.
Consider all the world your hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in and there proclaim my God.
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Stay safe. Have a great week.
Thank you.